Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news. We are a sharp college football podcast. And fools, Rob. We're such fools. We didn't talk at all about Stanford versus Sacramento State. What are we doing? There wasn't a line. Clearly, if there had been a line, we'd have been at Sacramento State because, you know, right. it's the game of the unhooked couple that had forced to meet each other at a party. This week was weird, and like most weeks where you don't have a lot of marquee games, there's going to be some that pop up. Obviously, we have Colorado State. Stanford lost to an FCS school. We had I think we saw the full and operational force of the Death Star at Michigan State for Washington's passing offense. Well, what jumped out for you? Let's talk general, and then let's get into these games. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I think the general impression, you know, across the conference, I thought the conference, like, for the most part this week, like, if you were going to, like, it wasn't an impressive, I mean, this wasn't, like, the greatest slate of opponents across college football in general this week, so that's not, it wasn't just the Pac-12 that was playing a ho-hum schedule. I was impressed that the conference, like, went out there and, like, took care of business, like, and some of them did it quite emphatically, of course, right? You know, like Washington, of course, sticks out. Like, I mean, look, Michigan State was not a good team to begin with. And then, you know, the controversy with Mel Tucker, not great. But like Oregon went out and, like, you know, what did they need to do? They needed to absolutely hammer Hawaii. They did that, right? Like Oregon State seems like a team that, like, they feel a bit like a python, like they're, like, with their defense, like they are just going to constrict the life out of you, you know, like they're going to do maybe a little more than enough on offense. I think it's unfair to just be like, they're just going to do barely enough on offense. I don't think that's the case. Like, it does, like, they feel like, they feel like Utah almost right now.
Oh, I would push back a little on that. I think the front seven looks great. I mean, they made that running game look stupid.
Yeah.
San
Diego State doesn't have a great offense. What I mean is that they have a better than average offense, and that they are one of the few teams in the Pac-12 who you can hang your hat on their defense, right? Like, and count on them to show up.
Yeah. I think that's fair. The one thing that that game reminded me, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, but it reminded me a little bit of the Washington Boise State game, where there were some guys in the seam that either the ball fell through their hand or that quarterback just totally misfired. Like, I counted four of them.
Yeah.
So just putting a little bit of a warning flag there, because, I mean, obviously Oregon State's going to go up and get some baller and we just saw, like, we get yet again another week of quarterbacks just, like, doing basically whatever they wanted on offense. So, but I do think that I agree in the sense that that defense is much more, that concrete is much more solid in terms of where they are compared to some of these other teams that I want to see it. Right. I think we've seen enough of Oregon State. I think that's probably where I'm at with them.
I mean, I gotta be honest. Like, I thought, I mean, while we talk about, like, taking care of business, and of course Stanford and ASU just, like, they're clearly,
oh,
like,
Lord Almighty, yeah,
they're clearly not any good this season. Man, Cal squeaked. I mean, like, it was not an impressive outing against Idaho, right? You know, like, it was, I mean, I think if, like, and when you dive in a little bit into that box score, like Idaho maybe should have won that game. Like, like Idaho was minus three on turnovers in that game. And they didn't outgain Cal by a lot, but they did outgain them in that game. And like that, like Cal feels like a team to me that, I'm real interested to see what happens to them this week and what they look like.
Yeah, I'm following North Texas like I'm a private investigator, because that game, that 58 points, everybody goes, oh, Cal, right. Cal's offense. You know, North Texas gave up 46 points to FIU and 37 points to Louisiana Tech. Yeah. So and we still have our founding father, Samuel L. Jackson,
right.
You know, up there doing 50% completion rate. So I think a lot of the worries that Cal had about that quarterback in camp, I think that team, this is that week where I'm like locked and loaded. Like we before we started recording, I was talking about like the chicken crap bookie that I work with that doesn't post lines until like Monday night. And like, so he lets them all get ironed into place, where I think I have a pretty good handle on most of these teams now. And as we go into conference season, the good thing is a lot of the teams that we have, the transfer portal certainly has mixed things around like a snow globe and everything kind of falls down, but there's really only a couple teams that are fully baked. You know, they were still baking. Obviously Colorado, ASU, Stanford. I think we know what all three of those teams are. And then the three teams that were kind of in that murky middle for me was Cal, because they had some interesting transfers coming to that program.
You got Spadoval. And yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you have finally, you know, they make the move on the offensive coordinator. And then what is Cam Ward with the new offensive coordinator, and what was DJU? And I think after four games, like, or three games, I think we've seen him. So I'm excited to get his. Well, what else jumped out for you from like a general standpoint here? Like anything that really popped?
I mean, there are a lot of FCS games in this past slate, right? And so it's sort of like I think it's like, and I want to call it like, it's just hard to evaluate, right? Like it's hard to evaluate what you really got. The one thing is like when things don't go, like, I mean, Cal passed for like 114 yards against an FCS team. Like that's where you go to get right. That's where you go to get reps, to get your passing game right before you get to conference play. And they're like, nope, we are going to run the ball down their throat. And they did. And that's fine. But they need reps. Like they need to throw they need to establish some sort of passing game and rhythm for Jackson at all. And the fact that they couldn't do that, I think, is like a really big worry. And I think really, too, I mean, I think if you're looking across the conference right now, I don't know that any defense has faced an offense like they're going to face in conference play this season. And so I think we've seen improvement from Washington. I think we've seen improvement for USC. This is showing up in beta rank right now. Like, you know, they're each right now profiling at about 20 spots higher than they finished last season. That's good, right? But man, how much of this is real and how much of this is like small sample, right? Like what's going to happen when the rubber hits the road? And like for Washington, we're not going to find out. They get Cal. So now, unless they flunk the test and flunk the Cal test, right? But that is like, I'm excited because we are suddenly going to get to start to see some of these defenses, which I don't have questions about a lot of these offenses, right? Like, I mean, I think a lot of these offenses are going to be just fine. It is, where are these defenses? You know, like, and maybe you can talk me into like, hey, I do need to see Cam Ward and still, like, I feel like there's some good there, and I think they're better, and I think he's better in this system. I still want to see a little more data. I think it's still fair to say, like, I want to see a little more. I want to see DJU and they're a little more pressed than they've been, you know, but like, that's it. Like, I need to see Washington and USC and, you know, Oregon's like, look, even without Travis Hunter, I think we're going to get an idea of where Oregon's defense maybe sets, right, you know, in this game. Cause like, man, Sanders is legit. Like that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, I don't want to, like, I mean, we'll get into it. I don't want that. I don't want this. Like, I mean, I like the Colorado show is fascinating, interesting, all of that. I think it is an amazing comeback and a disappointing showing against a pretty poor team all in one, you know, like, it is a whole of the above, right? Like it doesn't have to be one or the other. You went to a double overtime with a team that Washington State housed, right?
Yeah. I think another big picture data point for me was if you're looking at win totals, right, you basically shift Colorado with ASU.
Yeah.
Like ASU is really bad.
Yeah.
And look, there are a lot of injuries. Okay, get it. I understand. But like, I mean, oh, Jada Rashad is out. Oh no. You know, that's kind of like, for me, it didn't really matter if whether Rashad was out or not. It's the fact that that team isn't very good and they're thin everywhere. So for me, it was more the offensive line.
Yeah, when you started seeing the linemen, I was like, oh, they're dead. Like,
my gosh.
Unsurprisingly, yeah. How many quarterbacks got hurt in that game?
Yeah, I double dipped in there too. Like, just I went back to the well with ASU a second time that week when I saw the injury report, and then obviously Stanford. I mean, Stanford's really bad. So, yeah. I think that it's funny because the conference numbers are probably similar to where they were preseason. It's just different teams attached to where those teams were where we thought preseason. So that's interesting. I'm trying to get like anything else on my end that jumped out. I'm just trying to look through one more time with the box scores. I mean, I think that's basically it on my end. You know, it's so funny that the bummer is I wish there was a better team that everybody played besides San Diego State, because it's like the same team every year, right? Like they can't play offense. So you can't gauge the defense, and their defense is pretty good, but it's not elite. I mean, like it's had a couple of elite years, but it's an okay defense. So you're just kind of going, man, I wish there was a team that was a little bit more vibrant, right? That you can measure success against.
I mean, all in all, it was like the entire non-conference slate. I mean, and look, like, yeah, TCU took a step back. That's going to happen, you know. Florida, like, Lord knows what Florida even is, right? But like, I think overall, it was not the most amazing of non-conference slates, and the Pac-12 managed to they managed to, like, if it was like a pass, like it's like a pass fail almost, like they passed. I don't, like, there's no defining performances. Like there were some that gave you extra questions at Oregon, Texas Tech, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Baylor, Utah. But I don't think I don't think we came out of it feeling like we know anything more than Colorado is a lot better than we expected. ASU and Stanford are a lot worse than we expected. Cal, there was a lot of national media that was pushing the I'm Cal curious this year, you know, like this narrative of I think one of the guys on Split Zone Duo was kind of saying that. And there were a couple people particularly after the week one game that were like, what about Cal? And yeah, I think that's trending in a very wrong direction. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know. But I also I think that with some of the teams that we talked about as dark horses coming into this year, like UCLA and Oregon State. I mean, Oregon State, everyone talked about the dark horse. We talked about UCLA, right?
Yeah.
I think are really fun. And I think they still have some questions that we're about to find out some answers to.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. So we're going to review every game from last week. We're going to preview every game for the upcoming week. First week of the last year of conference play, which is really sad and super excited at the same time. Let's get to it. I almost feel like, right, never mind. This is a live show. I can't cut out jokes where I'm not quite certain if they're going to land or not. So let's get into this right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We're going to go through, if you're listening to this first time, we look at games that are moving forward. We look at games in the upcoming week, and then we break down how those teams did in the previous week. So the first game we have is 4 o'clock p.m. on the Pac-12 Network. Arizona is going to take on Stanford. They go to the farm. Arizona is a 9.5-point favorite. One of my frustrations, Rob, is the movement of these lines. They dropped, and a lot of them were kind of dumb. And they're quickly moving to where I think they are. So this game had initially opened at Arizona as an 8-point favorite. Now, the difference between 8 and 9.5, not a ton. I mean, obviously, you get those field goals, but it's not a giant key number, but it is significant movement in this line. Let's talk about Arizona first and what they were able to do against UTEP, a team that I did pretty well this past week. I took Arizona. I'm not certain if UTEP really cares this year. It just seems like they're kind of I'm just interested to see if they're falling apart. Arizona beat them 31 to 10. Jade DeLora went back to his old ways in a good way, right? We had good Jaden DeLora, not bad Jaden DeLora. Arizona was able to get the ball down on the ground. I mean, look, this offense is good, and I think they played a bad team. But like you mentioned, they took care of business. You know, what jumped out for you in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought UTEP's a really bad football team. I mean, without a doubt. It's tough because I don't know that Arizona had an amazing performance in this game. They ran the football really well in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped. DeLora, himself contributed, on a couple long scrambles. They didn't turn the ball over. And that really helped. UTEP got smacked around by Northwestern. This is a horrible football team. I think what was sort of surprising for Arizona, I think, was, and maybe the big takeaway for them, watching what happened to Mississippi State from LSU this week. That Mississippi State offense is not good. And that's probably the biggest things that have happened in the past. What should we talk about with Arizona? I think this defense has improved. By how much, of course, is another question still, right? I think they did a really good job in this game. For the most part, in both on the defensive side of the football, Hardison, and we talked about it a little bit coming into this game, is a pretty good quarterback. He threw for some yards in this game, his backup had a really good short showing against Arizona's backups. But Arizona's run defense was good. Not that, UTEP can really run the football all that well. I mean, Arizona came out and did exactly, it wasn't an A+ performance. It was a, B+ performance from them. I thought they did what they needed to do.
Yeah. The takeaway for me is that this isn't that year two team under Fish where they're going to win three games and they're going to try really hard, but they just don't have the talent. I think there's clearly an upgrade in talent. We already know what the offense is. I agree with you. I think the defense is better, but I'm still not sold. I know who's on this team. I'm looking at the roster. Yeah. I still don't trust the defensive coordinator.
Right.
And I don't think they've faced a good offense so far. It's been NAU. It's been a really bad Mississippi State offense, like you mentioned, that was just 100% committed to not using the tools that they actually had and recruited for.
Right.
And UTEP. So, I'm still a little worried about what they're able to bring to the table. When we face the game coming forward, when we were looking at Stanford, I don't think it matters. I think it's actually the story is more on what is Arizona bringing to the table, because I don't think Stanford's bringing anything to the table right now. Arizona already made a replacement at linebacker. So they punted one of their starting linebackers and then replaced them with somebody that I didn't think was really that good. I still think the secondary is shaky, right? They're relying on that Cal Poly transfer and he's fine. But like, I mean, they lost Christian Rowan Wallace. So like,
yeah.
I want to see somebody that can throw the ball against this team because I think it's going to be the same old Arizona defense, but probably 20% better.
Right.
But still like that's a team that I think can get to a bowl. You know, anything else jump out in this game for you?
No. I think they found something with Justin Flo in run defense. Like I think he's like a heat seeking missile there. And I think the defensive linemen are doing enough to keep him clean and keep Manu clean if he's healthy. But I think Flo is a bit of a liability in coverage.
Any Oregon fans are like, yes, like nodding their head. Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, like he's a guy that has like just bananas physical ability and just, I think struggles to slow down and like think through what you need to do in cover. I mean, like pass coverage is complex, you know, like it's part of what makes defense fun these days. So I think there's some positives, but you know, I've like the only like, in this game too, like it just comes down as like, if Delora doesn't throw four interceptions, they should be fine. Right. Like maybe five.
Yep.
Is Stanford's that bad?
They're not double digit favorites yet. And then we flip over to what Stanford did, right? Sacramento State 30, Stanford 23. We had two quarterbacks in here, Ashton Daniels and then Justin Lampson, the guy that ended up stepping in during the USC game. Although I think there was three quarterbacks in that game. I was yelling and tearing my hair out as it was happening. So, and the sound was off, but I'm like, oh my gosh, look, this is a problem. 279 yards given up through the air, 169 given up through, on the ground. And Sacramento State had two interceptions and Stanford still lost this game. I mean, that is a problem. Yeah. Now Stanford threw two picks, which I'm expecting from these quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think these quarterbacks are good. The interesting thing to me was EJ Smith finally made his real return, right? I haven't really seen a lot of him in the first couple games. 9 carries, 71 yards. I mean, Stanford was able to rush this, but and then I'll take a step back, but 6 sacks and 6 tackles for loss allowed to Sacramento State. Like this is a problem. Like this team could be one of the worst teams in big, whatever you call it, Power Five football.
Yeah. I mean, look, Sacramento State's a good FCS team, like a really good FCS team. However, like they lost their head coach, right? Like there are questions, like things you should know. This is real. I mean, Stanford could be horrendous. This feels like year zero for them under Troy Taylor. I think that there were like momentary like, oh, it maybe just turns out Hawaii's not very good. You know, there were moments of like, hey, maybe Stanford's competent, and like that, those are gone, right? Like getting waxed the way they did an FCS team, right? Like, I mean, Caden Bennett from Sacramento State, like threw the ball all over the place on them. I mean, and even with two picks, Stanford, you know, like couldn't slow him down a ton. You know, EJ Smith ran the ball pretty well, but like that was about the only bright spot on this team. I mean, like, as you said, like the fact that they gave up so much pressure is like hugely troubling for them.
Yeah. I know they had a chance to win the game at the end. So like, and look, to be frank on my end, I didn't watch this game. It's an FCS game. I'm just more taking a peek at the box score, knowing what I saw in the last couple of games with Stanford. So just like, you know, most of these games we do try to get an eye on, but I mean, just taking a look at what Stanford has done so far, and like this result doesn't surprise me. And when you take a look at who they're playing coming up, like Arizona has a good offense. Like they're legitimately good on the ground and through the air. So, I mean, this is a problem for, I think this, like this line has moved 1.5, but let's compare these teams because I'm very confident in terms of Arizona beating Stanford by more than 10 points. I think they're significantly better than Stanford, even on the road. And look, I know everybody's like, oh, the farm, nobody's there. Like the farm, like Stanford still wins at the farm. Yeah. Like they have taken advantage of that stadium. It's quiet and it's weird. And that's like part of it's not charming, but it's part of the advantage, I think, for Stanford when they're playing there.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, Arizona's got a good offense. I'm not sure about the defense. However, Stanford just got punched in the mouth by an FCS defense. So I don't know, like Arizona's probably got better talent than that. This feels like a game Arizona should mostly have their way with. And that's pretty telling, because like I think I would put like Arizona on like the very tail end of like actual competent functional football teams in the conference. like the last of them in the conference. Like if you're going to rank them, like Arizona's probably the last one.
Like it's the one antelope that gets caught by the tiger.
Yeah, yeah. Like obviously, like, the slow, like clearly the slowest in the herd, right? But the fact that like I think Arizona could win this pretty like walk. Like it, the only thing that should slow them down is like Delora doing Delora things.
Yeah, I mean, aside from turnovers, is there any like situation? I mean, just looking at what Stanford has, I guess they could. I mean, what I would expect in this game is for them to try to run the ball as much as humanly possible.
Yeah.
But I don't think their offensive line is really that good. No. So they have a talented running back and a blah offensive line. And I do think Arizona's front seven, I was kind of dumping on them a little bit, but I do think Bill Norton is a little better. They lost major pieces. So I think the one thing to keep a look at, I'm going to take Arizona wins this game, but like the thing that worries, the one thing that I will look for is how many yards does Stanford get in this game? And is Arizona's run defense still garbage? Because it was last year. So I think it's better. And to your point, yeah. I think Flo being good on run defense, like I think you can stick him there and just dare the quarterbacks to throw at him because they're not very good. So I think this all leans towards Arizona having all the significant matchup advantages, and I'll take Arizona. I'll absolutely lay the points.
Yeah, I mean, send Flo on, like, you know, leave him as a, you know, green dog, basically. Like, let him blitz. Like, limit what he has to think about, right? Like, just leave him with man coverage, basically, all the time on a running back. And if the running back stays in the block, like, let him blitz. Like, pretty simple.
Yeah. Who are you taking?
What's the line again? 9.5?
9.5.
I'm taking Arizona versus that.
Yeah. I think they try to step on the gas too. Like I just think Arizona wants to go and I think Fish, not in a jerk way, but I do think that they keep that train going until like midway in the fourth quarter. And then they take the foot off the gas. And like, I think just one thing that I don't know if this is true or not, but it was just something they kept like, I maybe even projecting. I think a lot of coaches liked David Shaw. And I think that at the end of his tenure, there was some like respect of just kind of, all right, you know, we already beat him. Let's just, you know, let's not pile on because, you know, this is a good guy. So a little bit different now. Next game, 12:30 PM on ABC. Gosh, I'm so excited for this game. Colorado, come into Eugene, into Autzen Stadium. They are 20.5 point favorite. I'm sorry, 20.5 point dog on the road against Oregon. The big news here is I was so pissed about that shot that Colorado, I mean, that player should be suspended for 5 games for what he did to Travis Hunter. Yeah. If you didn't watch it, so Hunter's out, going to be out for about 2 weeks. The ball is well over his head. It had already landed, and a Colorado state player just cheap shotted him in the chest at full speed. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, look, this guy has, you can say what you want about Sanders, but Colorado State was the team that talked the trash this time. Like, I thought that was the interesting part, where it's like Colorado State came out and they had like 5 personal fouls. They were playing mean. They were playing angry. And it was their coach was the one that started all this stuff.
Like,
they came out as if Dion was just trashing Colorado State the whole time, which was not the case. But 20.5, I was looking forward to this game because I thought this game, Rob, was the one where we would be able to step on the gas against Colorado. But the line opened pretty big. I mean, Oregon, 20.5 is a lot for a team that could move the ball. And we've seen Oregon play against teams that can move the ball. It doesn't always work out super well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the interesting things in this game is like Oregon's defense right now is sitting at 38 in beta rank. It's a little improved over where they were last year. Obviously, like Colorado, there's just way too much preseason weight in there still to get a really good read on them. Yeah. But that said, like Colorado's defense is not good. They got absolute, like, listen, like, Hal Mumme's kid is the offensive coordinator for Colorado State. Like, they run the air raid, like the pretty regular one, right? Like, and there's some wrinkles into it and everything. Like, Colorado was burned all the time by Mesh in that game. Like you just see that crosser underneath that they kept hitting for big yards. They're just running Mesh. Yep. Like that's like bread and butter air raid, and Colorado just could not catch up to it. Not that I think Oregon's going to like show up and be like, hey, you know what? Like, let's just do Mesh. But I do think that like Oregon's got better weapons at wide receiver for Knicks, I think, this season. And I think Knicks is playing really well. Like, I don't think their offensive line is quite gelled yet so far. But this Colorado defense is like, that feels like trouble. Because like, look, Colorado State, if they didn't shoot themselves in the foot, would have won this game. Like it was like
four turnovers.
I mean, four turnovers, 168 yards, in, or was it 180 some yards? Like almost. I mean, a well over 150 yards in penalties. Let's put it that way. And just so. And then like not going for it on fourth and two. I mean, like they hadn't run the ball well. That's not their bread and butter. But like not going for it on fourth and two. Not going for two in overtime.
Not going for two. Oh my gosh. I'm like, what are you doing?
I mean, just so many opportunities to just completely salt that game away. And I just like, I don't think Colorado's faced anybody with a really good offense yet. And I think they're going to they're absolutely going to. And I like Colorado's used to being that team that can just like show up, and their offense is clearly the most talented on the field. And Sanders is really good, and you're just able to like either you just know that like they believe they could just show up and score. Now they didn't quite do that against Colorado State, but they were able to put Stanford in a bind, right? And like TCU just eventually couldn't keep up with the pace. Like this is going to be different. Like, can you keep up with Oregon, the way Oregon is going to score in this game in all likelihood? I'm interested to see that for Colorado, right? Because like, I do think Sanders, I think their wide receivers are pretty good. I think their offensive line is questionable. I'm not sure Sanders is as mobile as you'd like. He was limping a bit and slowed down from a hit in the Colorado State game. Again, like I think like if you're a Colorado fan, like rush the field, who cares, man? Like it's a rival.
I wouldn't bother by it.
Whatever.
They should do it every game they win. Why not? Like just lean into it.
Like,
you know?
I mean, like how long is it since they had any fun in Boulder? Like what are you guys doing being the Scolds?
well, outside of football, like, I mean, a lot.
Right. Like since football was fun in Boulder, a very long time. I would say just I think for like Colorado with this game is like, yeah, like celebrate that. Like, but this was not a good measuring stick for this Colorado team. They can't like you came away with like, well, they're several sizes smaller than you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I all of the things like I want Colorado to succeed. And I think like we've talked about it's this bizarre polarizing thing. Like, I think the most response we've gotten is from Colorado fans that are like, oh, you're not covering us the way that you cover other teams. And like, no, there are clear deficiencies in this team. This game showed it, right? I was on Colorado. I thought they'd smoke Colorado State. They didn't. They gave up Sanders. Sanders is legit good. And four sacks, nine tackles for a loss. Like he was on the run against Colorado State. Now he's got to face, you know, I don't think that Oregon has a world-beating defensive line, but it's better than Colorado State's, and it's one of the better ones in the Pac-12 that he'll likely face. He's going to be on the run. They can't run the ball, so this is going to be a one-dimensional offense that's going up against a front seven that knows that and has all the resources available to figure out how do you stop this. At the same time, I mean, like, still going through this game, I mean, if you take a look, like, Edwards didn't get running, right? We've talked about them not being able to run. We've talked about that offensive line being bad. And we've talked about the defense being bad, and here it is, bang, bang, bang. Now they have a lot of strengths, and I think this game is fascinating because when you take a look at Oregon, who just whacks the heck out of Hawaii, and thank you, Rob, by the way, for talking me into taking the points rather than laying them in terms of what they were able to do against Hawaii. I mean, like they could have scored 80 points in that game. Yeah. They kind of ended up not. So I didn't take a lot from Oregon's win over Hawaii. But we should talk about it. I mean, is there anything that jumped out for you before we go into matchups here?
I mean, like we just talked about, Hawaii is not very good. I mean, there's not much to say. Like, Oregon got whatever they wanted, right? Like, it was just like practice reps for the most part. They put up 24 points in the first quarter. Like, it was clearly over, and they just kept scoring. Like, Ty Thompson was 4 of 6 with a touchdown, right? Like, you know, things went well. Bucky Irving was, you know, everyone was good. Let's put it that way. And
a good time was had by all. I mean,
except for Hawaii. Like, no one on Hawaii had any fun, but everyone else did. Yeah, I just, like, I don't, like, this was one of those ones where, like, I, like, if you were, when you're playing a bad team, Oregon showed up and, like, what's the, like, the great teams cover? Like, great teams cover. Like, they covered, you know, like, and, like, emphatically. Like, they showed up and showed that Hawaii had no business in the same field as them, no business on the same field as their backups. Like, that's, I don't know. I mean, like, beyond that, like, I mean, like, what, like this game was like garbage time in the first quarter.
Like, yeah, 24 points. I mean, this was like this was USC Stanford, basically. Yeah. And then when you flip it and you take a look at the defense, I mean, like we mentioned, it's hard to break down a ton of this stuff because why is bad, but 142 yards allowed in the air. That's what you want to see.
Right.
Only 59 yards on the ground. There were some sacks mixed in there. I mean, they're not running the ball a ton, but that's what you want to see. I mean, I think Oregon is what it is, which is probably, like you mentioned, an improved defense. But we don't know how improved. And then this is a bummer for me because I'm fascinated to see. I wanted to see Travis Hunter in here because I wanted to see Sanders and Hunter in that passing offense. I still think Colorado's passing offense is going to be good. The question is, how many points can they score? Because they are going to give up 50 to Oregon. I mean, I think that's a given.
Right.
And it's so 20 points. Can they put up 30? I think they can. Like but the problem is, if they're one dimensional with a really smart defensive coordinator and a smart defensive staff, That's worrisome to me because Colorado's not going to run the ball in this game at all. And Oregon's going to do whatever it wants.
Right.
So, I don't know. Help me through this, Rob, because I wanted to take the points because 20 and a half is a lot for a team that can score.
Right. I don't think TCU's, I think Oregon's defense is, I mean, here's my thing. They struggled a bit. Like, they couldn't run the ball very well against CSU. Now they could throw it, right? But I worry about Sanders surviving this whole game, right? Like that. Like I don't think their offensive line is good. And I think they're gonna, like, I think Colorado is gonna, I'm taking Oregon in this game. Like, I'm gonna, it is a huge line, but I think Oregon is going to be able to score almost at will against this defense. And I think this offensive line, and like Sanders being potentially hurt and not, like, he was limping around, and maybe he's fine. Maybe it's a light ankle sprain or something like that. Maybe he's fine by game time, but oh man, like if he's not fully mobile, it could be a really long day for them. And like, look, I don't think Oregon's defense is great by any stretch. I just don't know that we've seen, like, when the one time they've gotten a defense we think might be okay this year, I would say, is Nebraska. You know, but Nebraska's offense was so bad, their defense was just in huge holes, right? Like,
yeah.
And like, Colorado's gonna have to drive the whole field almost every time. Oregon's just going to put up points. It's going to be the kind of pressure that I don't think that they're quite ready to face. Like, that kind of thing where it's like, that part's tough. Like, when your defense is just a folding chair that is completely folded over, and you are forced to be perfect as a result offensively, like, that kind of pressure is really tough to be flawless.
Oh man. I want to take the point so much. I do. But I think the better move here is probably whatever the over is or team total on Oregon, because I do think Oregon just does whatever they want. I mean, this is going to be 7-7-7-7-7-7 over and over and over and over again. Dang it. 23. I'll take Oregon because it's one dimensional. I think if they could have run a little bit more, I just think that this can get in a hole. I think there's two other ways to play this. Like I'm not going to bet on this game. I'm just picking it for the. But if you were an actual game, I think it's possibly the over and see what that number is, see what the team total is. The other thing is alt line. Like there is a world where this is like a 40-point win for Oregon, I think that's more likely than not likely in this game in terms of if Oregon wins, they will win by more than 20. Right, they're going to win by like 30. Yeah. And so that's an interesting, like, take a look at that. So, all right, I'll lay the points. I actually had set this at 17 initially, but with Hunter and just like this pace is going to be weird, right? Because they're going to be in a hole early and often. And I think that's where problems happen. So I'll lay them. Okay. Next game coming up. I love that we can actually break these down a little bit more, Rob, because we have fewer games, right? This is where yes. we're at. At the same time, what's the deal with this? Dueling Pac-12 games at 12:30. This is the world we live in, Rob. Everything sucks. Everything's terrible. First world problems, but real problems. Come on now. 12:30 on Fox. UCLA, number 22, goes into Utah. This is the line I was so mad about because Circa opened this as Utah +8, and it has been bet down to Utah 4.5. And so a couple caveats here. If Rising doesn't play, this game does not count. That's how important he is to Utah's offense. Like, I mean, it counts obviously in records, but for us picking this, like, I don't want to pick this not knowing if Rising. I am going to assume that he's playing. I don't know Brett Brandt Keithy. So the way at least I'm going to break this game down is, you know, is with full straight up Cam Rising's in and they're going to do weird stuff and UCLA is going to have to catch up. Now, taking a look at the games, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to break down here, Rob, when it comes to what we saw on the field, right? Utah played Weber State and just sat on their face, basically. Nate Johnson was the quarterback, whatever. 31-7 for Utah. I don't want to monologue on this. Like anything you want to cover in terms of that game?
No. I mean, it was an ugly game for Weber State. Like, good game for Utah. You know, and like, Lander Barton had a touchdown in it. Like, I mean, like Nate Johnson was fine. Like he added 71 yards on the ground, which is what you need with Nate Johnson in there. The running game was mostly pretty good. They completely shut down Weber State's offense. Now Weber State is like a defensive first team in the FCS, but they completely shut him down, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Good game. I mean, it's what you want to see, right? Keep things vanilla. Let Nate Johnson run around and do stuff while Cam Rising gets another week to heal. I'm with you. And then this is such a stupid, like UCLA played North Carolina Central. Yeah. I didn't know this school existed save for the NCAA tournament, like in 2015 or something. Right. Like, so it's, I mean, like 59-7. Yeah. I think Ethan Garber's Colin Schley was in this game. They were like, I forget. There's a couple running backs. I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I'm opening the box score, 'cause I was like following this on Twitter as it was happening, but kind of like just more eye roll, like 16 players basically got a carry in this game. Like this is just a dumb.
Yes.
Anything that jumps out for you?
No, there's nothing. I mean, like the fact that they let Ethan Garber's come in and throw one pass just feels like Chip Kelly, just completely screwing with people. Like,
just hear it.
Why?
Yeah. So you're just answering. There's nothing for you,
right? Here. Like,
you know. I say that though because this game's going to be awesome. UCLA comes in as a road dog. You know, 4.5 points. Utah will likely have their quarterback here. Let's break down the matchup. What do the numbers say on this?
So Bearings got this as number 9 Utah against 16 UCLA. You know, Utah's offense comes in at number 20 overall. UCLA's defense comes in at number 34 right now. Not a ton of data in up to this point. But it's funny because, like, both of these defenses are a lot better at defending the run than they are the pass. Like, a lot better. And right now, both of these offenses really rely on running the football. Utah's offense is at number 20 overall in beta rank. They're number 5 in effective rush, number 85 in effective pass. I mean, and without Rising, like, you absolutely see that. Like, this is a terrible passing offense without Rising. And maybe without Keithy, too. Like, I mean, Rising, I think, gives them some ability. Now, UCLA's defense is at 22 in effective rush, 47 in effective pass. You flip it around, you know, UCLA's offense is at number 7 overall in beta rank. Utah's defense has crept up all the way up to number 3 overall. Now, they haven't played an outstanding schedule yet. They're at number 3 in effective rush. In theory, number 8 in effective pass, but they haven't played anybody that could throw the ball around at all against them yet. So we'll see. That's a little TBD on that number as we are still in the early season. UCLA's offense is at number 2 in effective rush, number 55 in effective pass. Like, I mean, like, just talking about where these teams were last year, too. I mean, like, UCLA's defense is clearly not, I don't think they're going to finish in the 20s or 30s. I do think they're a lot better than they were. But I do think that it's still mostly driven by the front 7, where I think they have decent talent. And Utah, you know, like, I do feel like they can hang their hat still on that run defense. And they largely were able to, like, in the way Tennessee absolutely was not able to shut down Florida's run game. I'm super interested to see this UCLA rushing offense. Look, Chip Kelly has one of the best rushing offenses. I mean, and his run concepts are awesome and fun to see. Like, we're going to get, like, this is going to be great. Like, this Utah run defense on it. Like, this is one of the premier matchups in the conference this season, is this Utah run defense against this UCLA rush offense. And in is this wild card of, like, Dante Moore, who could crack the game open, right? Like, I mean, because I'm still not sold on Utah's pass defense.
I don't think Utah fans are either. I think they understand, like, just listening to some Utah podcasts,
argue with me last season that they were amazing. I don't think their pass defense is great. Now, look, I don't, like, Dante Moore has not been asked to do much more than, like, hand the ball off and, like, take some shots, which is not a bad life. But I don't think UCLA is going to be able to just, I mean, now if they can, I'd be surprised. But, like, I think, I mean, like, the matchup of, like, you know, who's blocking Lander Barton, like, and trying to, you know, spring UCLA's rushing offense. Like, I think UCLA is going to have to be able to throw the ball enough in this game to take some of the pressure off of the run game. You flip it around, and look, I mean, Utah should be able to put up points, but they have looked sclerotic on offense at times. Rising, I mean, how much rust does he have? I was shocked when this line opened where it did. I was I'm sure everyone was like, just in awe that it was like, I mean, in theory, it's one possession, but it's more than 7 points for Utah. I think that this UCLA defense has some warts, but I mean, do you think that Utah's offense is set up to fully exploit these warts? That's what sort of, like, Nate Johnson is a wild card on his own. I mean, and he's going to get, like, and Rising is too, if he's fully ready to go and mobile. They might need a running quarterback in here. Because without Keithy, like, I don't know. I mean, like, some of it you could argue, I think, is, like, without Rising, they clearly don't have a good quarterback who has the arm talent to get the ball around. So if Rising's in there, maybe it opens things up a bit more with the pass catchers. But, like, what do you think this, do you think that this Utah offense, like, can get it, can, like, really get it going if they can't just run the ball for easy points?
No, I don't. That's like, if you go unit by unit, right? I think the strength of UCLA's defense, if you want to use, is the run defense.
Yeah.
I think the rushing offense of Utah is not as good as it's been in the past.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think Jaquindon Jackson is interesting and he's big and mobile and that kind of stuff, but I think past running backs have been better. And I wanted to see Utah step on the gas on the running game against Baylor, and they did not.
Yeah.
And I want to go back into the box score with their, I mean, look, Florida's rushing defense is probably pretty good, but 105 against, I'm not as big of a, they're good. They're just not what we've expected. And then you got a rusty quarterback, possibly. I don't know if Keithy's in this game. I don't think their tight ends are as good as they've been in the past, right? So, like, what Utah did against USC, with their tight ends was just should be hung up in a museum somewhere, because it was just it was incredible.
Yeah.
But they don't have that, right? You know, like I have that tight end on my fantasy team right now in the NFL. But here's my worry. And I'm going to take the points. I think this game is probably low scoring ish, or UCLA like wins this by a decent amount. My worry with this, though, is that you have a freshman quarterback going into Salt Lake City, right? Like, this is not numbers. What is that benefit, right? Like, how does that impact the point spread? Like, I would give it 5 points. Like, I think that's how much it matters to go in. But I had UCLA winning this game by 3. So if you're going to give me 4.5, like, I got to take them and just trust that Kelly can keep things contained. But there is a world where, like you said, right, freshman quarterback turnovers in Salt Lake, like, he's going to have to throw the ball. Can he actually get it to his wide receivers? That's the key to this game.
Right. No, I mean, that's like, that on its own, because I do think Utah's run defense is like salty enough that UCLA is not going to be able to show up and be like, oh, let's hand the ball off and like go score some points, fellas. Like, they're going to have to. And I like, now look, I don't think they're going to rely on the freshman in the way that, like, you know, last season, why is his name? Dorian Thompson Robinson. Like, he was like a warrior at times last year. Like, even though they were still a rushing team, he held in there, like, he was often like holding it in there until guys got open, which sometimes took a while. Right. Sometimes took a little while. And so he had some games where he's like limping around, taking shots, like keeping him in the game. I think they're a little better than that. And I think, like, I mean, like, and I'm not saying Moore right now is better than Thompson Robinson as a college quarterback. I don't think that's the case. But I do think that... I think they're a little better in the pass catching department. I think the offensive line is clearly pretty good so far. Although this will be far and away their most stout test. I think this UCLA team is going to be able to get some points. And I actually think Moore, even if he has a turnover or two, I think he's going to hit a big play. Like, I think this Utah pass defense is not good. And I think...
Great. Yeah, go ahead.
And I think that they can... I think UCLA can run the ball enough to where Utah is not going to be able to provide extra help.
Graham Mertz put up 333 yards against this offense, right? Like, that's the... And I would argue that Graham Mertz is a better quarterback now because he's like... 35 years old, right, than UCLA's true freshman in Salt Lake City. But to your point, I think that Kelly's going to put shots on the board, and I think that Moore can hit those. Yeah. I think he's going to make mistakes, but yeah. I'll take the points. I'm so excited about this game. I'm actually putting real money on it. I think I actually already scooped this up at 7 in a pregame thing, so I just think this is... I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast. I think this is UCLA's year, and if they lose this Utah game, it is very much not their year, and I'm going to have to reassess. But, you know, got to stick to my guns, and I do think this is an interesting matchup for them, and I think they can bring it. And you're taking the points as well?
Oh yeah. Give me the Bruins. I couldn't believe, I was like, what in the wide world would lead anyone to this line?
Yeah. Yeah. And like in the past, I think the biggest problem on my end was, it's funny. I was listening to this financial podcast and the guy's just really interesting. He's funny. He's like, you have to respect the ocean, right? You know, they're just like, you're not as smart as you are all the time. Things are going to go up and down. And there's been some lines where they stuck out and I said, you know what? I'm going to respect the ocean here. And I was, I should have just respected myself, Rob. I need a little bit more self-confidence here. So we'll find out what I feel like next week. But okay. So we're both on UCLA. We have 3 more games to break down. Let's get to them right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, we're back. Hipster game of the week. Absolutely. I'm so excited about this. Number 14, Oregon State, on the road in the Palouse against Washington State. Oregon State comes in as a 2.5 point road favorite, which was actually, I set this at 2. So it was roundabouts where I thought it was going to be. And I think this line is super sharp, Rob. Like, these teams are pretty good. I watched the whole, I mean, I've watched Oregon State twice now with DJU. I watched the entire game against San Diego State, which was interesting. Let's talk about that game first, right? Oregon State goes, well, they didn't go into San Diego State. They hosted San Diego State, beat them 26-9. I mean, they basically had this game in hand. They were up 12-0 in the first quarter, and it was kind of basically they just sat on San Diego State. Anything jump out to you in terms of the box score or just the results of this game?
No, I mean, I just thought, I mean, look, we know San Diego State's offense is hot garbage. And Oregon State largely showed up. I mean, look, like, their quarterback had some decent numbers under the hood, but like they completely shut down the run game. Right. And like, yeah. And I think when you look at like how they were able to completely shut down the run game, I think they basically dared San Diego State to try to beat them passing. And were willing to give up some plays in the passing game, probably to like, you know, knowing that San Diego State was going to whiff on some of them, that kind of thing. Like they just didn't have that kind of talent, which I think is the right, that's a pretty smart trade-off, right? Like,
and, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like, and obviously that worked. I mean, clearly like it is a, if you're coming into this game, you're making the opposite bet, right? Like we need to be a nickel and we need to like at least nickel coming into this one. And we're going to trade off to slow down the passing attack. I mean, I think DJU had a really good game minus the two picks. Like that's a little concerning, I think, but like, look, San Diego State has a pretty good defense, but the fact that like Oregon State against what San Diego State's calling card, and we'll see where they shake out this year, has been defense. I thought that they like Oregon State ran the ball really well. And UCLA did pretty well too against them. San Diego State just drew like two nearly identical offenses. They're just like, hey, we're going to run the ball. Like, and there's nothing you can do. Like, I don't care what you do against other group of five teams. We're going to run the ball on you. But the fact that they were able to show up and do it, right? Like, I think they have a really good offensive line. We talked about this ad nauseum. This feels so interesting to me because, like, before we get to break it down, like I think my main takeaway is like Oregon State showed up and did exactly what they needed to do. They had some mistakes. Like DJU definitely had some mistakes in this game. But I didn't see anything that would like shake my confidence on like on both sides of the ball. They're a good to very good football team, like TBD, like on whether we are good or very good, you know?
Yeah. They move the ball through. I mean, like, the number one takeaway was like Damian Martinez is good in the offensive line. Yeah. Like we already knew that, yeah. Right? That was basically okay. A couple things stood out to me. The first was I didn't think DJU had a great game. I mean, he was 50%. He missed some really open guys multiple times. But the one thing to keep in mind is San Diego State blitzed the tar out of him. Like they sent 7 like constantly, and so he was. Right. And enough numbers to overwhelm the offensive line. I actually thought the game plan on defense was actually pretty smart. And it was basically daring him to do things. And I wasn't as impressed. I think he's better than he showed in this game. Yeah. He hit the passes that he needed to, but the two picks, they didn't use him on the ground, which I think was smart. I mean, I think he had a couple of rushes, but it wasn't like, I think you're going to see more of that. Yeah. I thought this was a very conservative, mellow game plan, minus throwing the touchdown to like the 300-pound right. Like tackle. I thought that was a good touch.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. And I think the thing to, if you're going to flip it around in terms of Oregon State's defense, and we talked a little bit about this in the beginning, this was very similar to that Boise State game where there were multiple. There are multiple wide open passes. I'm going to stay on offense real fast. The other thing that really jumped out to me a second time is like all their wide receivers. other thing with DJU is he had like a 70-yard screen pass that went for, you know, he threw it to Bolden. Or I forget who he threw it to. It was 40 yards, but it was a 40-yard like touchdown pass that was, I mean, he just like tossed it to the side. So I would almost subtract that from his numbers. So when you take a look at that, it's not as impressive.
Yeah.
And their wide receivers are so small. Like they are tiny, tiny. Any major play they got was play action to the tight end, basically. So I think you can just wipe out those wide receivers for the most part in this game, and that's interesting. On the defensive side, open up in the seam, there was multiple drop passes, bad throwing. Like this game should have been like 26-14 or 26-20 probably, or 26-17 is probably more of a fair assessment. So I say that because Washington State is good. Let's take a look at what they were able to do. They played Northern Colorado, whatever. They beat him like 59-0. Do you want to talk about that game, or do you just want to go like straight into the breakdown?
I mean, we just go straight into the breakdown. I mean, like Northern Colorado, an FCS team, like Washington State has, the one to hang their hat on is Wisconsin, and like the fact that they actually like lit up Colorado State, for the most part. Like what they did to Northern Colorado.
Let's break it down. So what do the numbers say here? Because this is a really good game. I'm so excited to watch this.
So like, look, Oregon State's offense has been like creeping up this year. Right now they sit at 14 in beta rank, but we'll see. I mean, the Beavers are number 12 overall. Washington State's at number 43 overall in beta rank right now. I mean, really more suffering from like having beaten a Wisconsin team and needing some help with turnovers to do it. And then beating a really bad Colorado State team. I mean, I do think Washington State looks better. We just haven't seen quite enough data yet to like really have it in. Washington State's defense sits at 36. I think that's really good. Like, but they're at 49 in effective rush versus 31 in effective pass right now. That's a little concerning, you know, the fact that they have, I mean, like now look, they have played Wisconsin and Wisconsin's going to run the ball a bit. But you definitely are going to get one of the more, you know, sophisticated rushing attacks in college football. The Beavs are at number 12 in effective rush. They are up to number 35 in effective pass. So that's a real positive sign, I think, for them. Like we talked about, like taking the pressure off the run game. On the other side of the football, Oregon State right now sits at number 1 in effective rush. We'll see where that number shakes out. They're sitting at number 12 in effective pass. This defense, look, they haven't played anybody yet with a pulse on offense. This is going to be their first real game against somebody with a pulse on offense. Now, Washington State is like, this is like the full-on, full-split, like, Mike Leach days. They're number 6 in effective pass right now, 111 in effective rush. They're up to 28 on offense and beta rank. I mean, this is where, like, I think the mystery of this game, to me, really is we have two units that we have not seen play anybody worth a lick yet. And that is the Washington State offense, who had an okay, I mean, like, I don't want to, like, I think they did pretty well, but, like, they had an okay game in that Wisconsin game, right? They didn't exactly, like, they were plus 3 on turnovers in that game. Ward was good, but, you know, he only had 6.3 yards per in that game. They are not going to run the football very well. And they get defense that when you flip it, like they haven't played anybody with a pulse on offense yet. Right. And like that to me, like, I mean, I feel like I know what we're going to get on the Beavers offense, you know, against this Washington State defense. It's just going to come down to like how well the Cougs are able to like slow down the Beavers run game. I think that's probably the most critical point on that side of the ball. If they're not able to, without bringing extra guys into the box, like that, unlike last year, is going to hurt them more, right? Like the Beavs are going to be able to exploit that with DJU, I think. Plus, like, DJU is also a run threat on his own, to your
point. He's going to run at least 5 times. They're going to do design runs, and it's going to suck, Wazoo fans. He's going to get 20 per, and you're just going to rip your hair out. So just anticipate that.
But, like, you flip it around, and, like, I mean, we talked about, like, I don't think the Beavs defense is as good as they were last year, but they still seem fairly competent. And, like, they have definitely shown up with good game plans and executed in their games to this point, right? Like, I think the interesting thing is, like, where I think that they lost the most was in the secondary last year. And I think that that off of last year's team. And, like, this is the game where we're going to get to see something good. Because I do think Ward's better. But I flip it around and, like, the only time we've seen Ward against somebody with a pulse was Wisconsin. And there, he's better. He is better. 6.8 per with no running game. Right, like, you have to be impossibly efficient if you're going to be, like, and he was 21 to 33. That's not efficient enough, actually. You need to be like Gardner Minshew efficient if you have no, if you're only hitting 6.8 per attempt. So that's interesting. Like, I guess it was like, that's what's sort of interesting to me to think about in this game is, like, if we were going to talk about, you know, like, the big question mark for me in this game, like, the part that I feel like I don't have a good handle on because of the quality of the teams these teams have played in non-con or how they performed against it is, like, I need to, like, this is going to be a big tell for me on, like, Ward. It's going to be a tell for me on, like, I think the Beavs, like, again, like, I think both of these units are good. Are either of them very good?
Yeah, it's a good line. It really is, because I think it gives respect to Washington State. I everything, like, you basically nailed it, so I don't want to repeat basically what you said. I think the one, I have two disagreements, and so the first would be, I don't, and maybe it's not a disagreement, it's just more, I have more cynicism in the Oregon State defense in the secondary. I want to see it, and I don't know if Ward needs to be as efficient as you do. I think he needs to hit some open guys like that on those slants and, like, in the seams, because I've seen that in two games in a row where I'm like, that should have been six. That should have been six. That should have been six. And I think that that's there. Flipping it around, I think this is a perfect game to test Yui Ungulale, whether or not he can actually keep composed and win this game. Because Washington State isn't going to give it to him easy. Like, I think that that front seven is going to pressure him and force him to throw the ball. And I think he's going to get a couple turnovers. And the fact that it's on the road in the Palouse, like, this is just a tough game. Like, and if you're an Oregon State fan, and let's say Oregon State loses this game, like, don't beat yourself up. Like, this is a real tough spot against a well-coached team. I would like to see this line go up to three before I actually swoop in. I'm going to take Washington State because it's at home, and I think Ward can put up enough points, but I am worried that they're not going to run the ball spot on what could happen. So I'm for sure not betting on this game right now unless I see a three on the board. And even then, I don't know if I'm actually going to come in and swoop, because this was right where I put it. Well, what about you?
Oh man. I'm going to take the Beavs in this game, which feels like a leap of faith. But you're right. I think this is a good line. What we saw was against Wisconsin sort of scares me, because, like, Colorado State's really bad. And yeah, like, they look decent against Colorado, and I don't want to take away from that. But Colorado State's not a great team. You know, like, and what we like, Northern Colorado is an FCS team, and they're not actually a really good FCS team. So I still want to see what Ward can do. And I want to see, like, cause, like, they could not run the ball against Wisconsin, and they were not as efficient as they necessarily needed to be. And I don't think Oregon State's going to gift them three turnovers where they don't turn. Like, I don't think I'd be surprised if Washington State finished plus three on turnovers in this game.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Yeah. This is by far, like, both of these teams are good and high quality teams. And I'm glad that they're playing early so we can watch them while everybody's healthy. All right. We got a couple more games here. USC was off. And so was Arizona State, basically, in terms of their loss to Fresno State. They lost 29-0. This was gross. that Drew Pine was bad. Trent Borke, I didn't get eyes on this game, to be fair. I was at an event and I had initially recorded it, and then I looked at the box score, and before that I looked at the injury report. So I think it's really important to mention that Jaden Rashad is out for a number of weeks. They had two offensive linemen out. Like I think Ralph Ampston was playing linebacker for them. Like it was a pretty rough lineup. All you know, with all due respect to Ralph, you know, he tried his best. No, like it was just everybody was injured in this game. And it showed, but also I think it showed a couple things. The first is that there's no depth on Arizona State. No. And when you lean on the transfer portal, this is often what you get if you can't stay healthy. Fresno State is a well-coached team. Like obviously Tedford's back there. And it showed, like, I mean, 281 yards given through the air. They didn't get a lot on the ground, so that's interesting. Although there was a minus 65 rush, which I need to go back and figure out what on earth. Probably a fumble, and they tackled it. I heard
like a punt fumble that or is something, bizarre. Right? Like,
I think, look, the takeaway for me, I've seen two Arizona State games now. Like, I think this team sucks. Like, I just do. I don't think they're very good. And I don't know. What did you think of the Fresno State game? Did you have a chance to watch this one?
No, I was. Like it was on late with Colorado State, and like it was, and I was gonna flip over, but then like Arizona State kept turning the ball over and having to roll out a new quarterback, and I was like, you know what, no, there's nothing to see here, right? Like this is and look, I mean, I do want to call out, like, when you turn the ball over eight times, like bad things are going to happen to you. Like very true. Like finishing minus eight on turnovers is astounding. So I doubt ASU turns the ball over eight times again, but that kind of thing will happen when you have no depth and you're playing guys that probably aren't at this level. And I think that's their problem. Right. Like these guys are going to make big mistakes out there. And I mean, some like, so yes, you have, clearly you don't have the right players. Clearly you don't have any players with enough time in the new system. None of this is good. Like I think ASU, yeah, there's the main takeaway is like, to your point is like, this is year zero and it might be year minus one for ASU.
Yeah. My worry here is, Trent Borke. I think he's not great. Like he didn't have the physical tools, but he's a smart quarterback.
Yeah.
And he got injured.
Yeah.
And so like one of the things to mention is you said the minus eight turnovers. Drew Pine gave us four of them, two interceptions, two drop fumbles, lost fumbles. I mean, that's pretty rough. So I don't know if Borge is going to be in this game. And if he's not, that's a massive problem. I think he's like the only, I mean, they could run the ball.
Right.
I don't think USC has that great of a defense, but this is going to be real tough. And they face a USC team that's going to put up points very quickly, and they're going to light this secondary up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
And we don't have a lot to talk about. I mean, like anything else on ASU, it's sad, like super sad about this. Cause you know, they get Dillingham. He's got some energy to him. I think he talks, he's a little mouthy for my, like if you're going to be mouthy, be like Dion, where like it's funny and creative. And
right.
I think he's just a little bit, he comes off as like an angry elf, I think a little bit with Dillingham, maybe because he's just like so small, or not, like he's young and small. Like he's not a big, big, massive guy.
Right.
This might get me in trouble. I'm sorry. It's live audio again, but that's just kind of where I'm at with him at this point. Anything else to mention about ASU?
No. I mean, there's just like this, and this game, I think in particular, feels like trouble for them because like they dug themselves a hole against Fresno. Like USC will just dig you a hole, or you know, like that offense will put you in a hole, and then you'll just start making mistakes. You know.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm 5'11", you know, like 165, so I could be mouthy too. So I give off the same vibes. Looking at, you know, breaking down this game, the line is 32.5. I feel like this could be Stanford 2.0, where Alex Grinch needs to make a statement, and he's basically telling his team no points in this game. Like, 0 points. We are a good defense, and he's right. Like it's the same. They're cheering on the sideline when they stop Stanford at fourth and five on the 6-yard, that kind of stuff. I think we see that, and I could see a scenario where USC drops another 60 burger and wins this game, and then we can finally bet against them in the next game. But like, I'll lay the points. I think USC is going to house ASU. I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah, the only thing that could keep this one close is that USC like loses focus because they're like, oh, these guys are terrible, because they are, like, yeah. Right, like, right. I'm not saying like there's a look ahead, and we knew USC like had a pretty light schedule entering in, but like they basically get like impossibly easy tune-ups to start off Pac-12 play, like Stanford and then ASU, right? Like,
yeah, that's right.
But I do think USC's offense is just dialed in, and I think it's going to be so easy. I think it's going to be so easy for these guys against this ASU defense, and I think who's going to be like Drew Pine, you know, like,
yeah, probably.
Good luck.
Yikes.
Like, bon voyage, my friend. Like, may the force be with you. Like, any blessings you want, you're going to need them. Not because I just think that they're going to be in such a hole. It is going to feel like, I mean, they're going to have to drive. They're going to have long field all the time because USC is likely to score a lot. You know, like, the only thing that's going to slow USC down is like how much Miller Moss plays.
Yes, actually, that was going to be my point. As I was saying this, I think the better, thank you for bringing that up. I think the better play is first half, because you're going to get Williams the whole first half, and he's going to put up his Heisman numbers, and then that's when. And Miller Moss, like we talked about this on the last podcast, I don't think he's good. I think he has one move, and it's throwing to the freshman tight end. And there is a world where ASU like kind of starts putting it together and puts some points on the second half. So I think the first half is the better move here. Possibly the USC team total if it's lower. But yeah, keep an eye out for Miller Moss coming in and USC just kind of backing off after they're up 50-6 or something like that. Yeah. That's a good call there. Anything else in this game?
No, this should be hideous. Like, I mean, if you're a USC fan, like, I mean, this should feel like a ticker tape parade, right? Like, just, you know, like, this is all like, you know, this is one of those ones where you get to be like, oh, we trashed Power 5 team. And you're like, did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk about mouthy. I'm looking forward to USC fans getting kind of mouthy after this game, because it's going to look pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, oh, we've housed Stanford Stanford and ASU. And you're like, did you look at who else they played and how that went?
Let's move on here. The final game, but this is just a loaded slate. Like, I'm so excited. I mean, and I think that's going to be the case all year. There's only two bad teams basically in this conference, or maybe three, you know, three with Cal. And everybody else is going to be bangers all week, or every week throughout the year. Washington 41, Michigan State 7. Look, y'all, I didn't buy Peacock for this because I just assumed Washington was going to step on Michigan State. I bet on Washington State. They did step on Michigan State. So full disclosure on my end, I didn't watch this game. I'm just looking at the score. Holy smokes, 473, four touchdowns. Michael Penix is a boss. I've seen this offense. It's beautiful. It's delicious. The one thing, and then I'll back off here, Rob. The two things stood out for me. The first was they started a new running back, right, with the injury that they had at the beginning of the year. So it was actually, I think it's Tybo Rogers ended up with the majority of the carries. So I'm interested to look. I'm going to be watching that more. And look, I mean, obviously there was so much stuff going on for Michigan State. This team could have either quit or battled. They ended up quitting, but I mean, still, like, I think it says a lot for Washington State to go out and just smoke a team, like, and just, I mean, was it like 30-0 at halftime? Like, that's what you want. That's what you want to see.
Yeah. I mean, look, Michigan State's not a good football team. They clearly had a boatload of controversy, you know, on their own coming into this game. I've, you know, long thought, like, I mean, the thing that I think a lot of Washington fans like felt really good about how the defense played in that game. I would caution that a little bit with like, this is like Michigan State's offense is not good, but Washington State's defense, I do think is better. I do think they're better than they were last year. And I thought that, like, I mean, clearly, I think one of the things to be most excited about, I think, if you're a Washington fan, was the wide receiver play. Like, holy smokes, those guys were making catches.
They're so freaking good. Yeah.
And I don't think I mean, like, there's a legitimate debate on, like, who's got the best wide receiver core in the Pac-12. Like, a full-on legitimate debate. Like, and I think, like, what we saw for Washington's wide receivers. I watched this. I have the Big Ten Network, and so I watched the 60-minute replay of this game, which is about, like, the right way to watch it, actually, with, like, the no breaks in between plays. And it was really, like... It would, the catches were just fantastic, right? And like Michigan State, I do think has like, I do like their DC, Scotty Hazleton. I don't think that like Tucker's like got it done, you know, like with recruiting and like getting guys in there. But I do think that like they've got a decent, like they've got decent talent in there. And they lit them up. I mean, they just, you can tell how comfortable everyone is in the system this year. Like it's incredible. Like I'm really legitimately excited. Their offense is up to number 2 in beta rank. USC is number 1 in beta rank currently. So this should be a really fun, like maybe not. I mean, I should say this. I don't think this is going to be a fun game. Maybe if you're a Cal fan, but I think that for, if you're a Washington, like this should be like this offense, and they're number 1 in effective pass right now. They're number 2 in explosive drives, number 4 in drive efficiency. Now, Cal's at like 31 on defense. Like, they haven't played a really good offense yet. And they're about to get one of the best.
Except for Idaho.
Yeah, right? I mean, except for Idaho. They're about to get one of the best in college football. Like, I mean, I'm just sort of like bouncing ahead because, like, I mean, we could talk, like, we probably should talk about Cal Idaho a little bit. Normally, we don't talk about FCS games, but.
Yeah, I was a little worried about this because in the beginning, like, I think everybody and their mom looked at the 17-0 box score and they're like, ooh, what's going on here? Cal finally, you know, was able to, like, we won't cover this too much. I, like, Frank, and the games I do watch, like, I watch very closely and am jotting down notes and stuff like that. And that this was not the game I was doing that on. But Sam Jackson, 50% completion rate, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. 41 on the ground. I mean, he is who he is. Like we talked about this at the beginning. We saw a little bit of Ben Finley here. But I'm worried, right? Like 17 points in the first half. Now, to their credit, the second half was a totally different story. 17-0 the other way, and Cal ended up, you know, cruising in the second half. This isn't exciting, like if you're a Cal fan.
No, they're in trouble potentially. Like that is a big problem. Like, you know, look, the Idaho passed for 279 against them, right? Like, you know, and it's not like, you know, and Idaho was -3 on turnovers in this game, right? Like, this is an ugly, ugly game for Cal. You know, and like, yeah, Cal ran the football really well, but like, this is against an FCS defense. Like Washington last season, like what did they struggle with? Like they struggled defending the pass. Like they were decent against the run. This just feels like real trouble for Cal. Like this is a real bad spot for them. I just, going in with a quarterback that like, I don't think is very good at throwing the football around against this Washington defense, just feels like a really bad recipe. Like you want, like this Washington defense is, I think is still a little susceptible to getting passed on. Yeah, this is not going to be good. Like what was the line on this one? Open it up again.
21 and a half.
Ooh, that's a good line.
Got bet down. It opened at 22.
Beta Rank has it exactly at 21 and a half. But I like Washington. Like I will happily take the Huskies. Like I think they're going to be able to get points against this Cal defense, and I think Cal's going to struggle.
My worry is that, but you're right, the secondary, like it doesn't matter. I mean, Jackson's going to throw for like in this game, right? 200 with 2 picks and 2 touchdowns, and he's going to get like 50 on the ground. I think that's the best case scenario for him. In terms of through the air, and everything's gonna be on the ground. Can you keep up
with Michael Penix?
No, they can't. But three, four times. You're telling me four scores is a lot four for a conference a opponent. Lot. Like the other thing to keep in mind is Jaden Ott might be out for this game, so we don't know if he's playing. Yeah.
So like slightly banged up then at the very best, Jaden Ott. Nope. Huskies by a million.
And they're at home.
Yeah. Unless there's like some dumb lightning delay. I mean, look, and I will say, there is a history of truly, under Peterson and Lake, truly stupid games against Cal by Washington. Yep. But I don't think this is that game. Like, I think that, like, I think they leave that behind them.
I'm going to take the points. That's a lot of points.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it confidently. I'm not going to bet this game. I'm going to do it for two reasons. The first is conference opponent. And Wilcox, Wilcox isn't going to stop this passing game, but I do think that I don't trust the defense still. I don't. And maybe I'm doing it for one reason. Like I just think that Cal's going to put up enough to be able to keep this within four possessions. Probably.
How many rushing yards does Jackson have to have? That's like, because like I think like Ott can even have a decent game. Like, I don't think Ott's going to get like 200 yards, right? Like, yeah. I think they can hold him to like four a carry or something like that, you know. It is, if Cal's hanging around, Jackson's got to have a huge game on the ground. He's got to throw in another 100 or more.
And they got to, it's got to be scheme, yeah. Right? Like, they got to pick on the secondary and just hit slant, like, yeah. And it's not going to be, he's not throwing bombs, it's going to be slants, yeah. And dumb
Jackson
stuff like
Jackson's
where it's just
opens things up, and Washington has to switch over and they can't play man, they have to play zone, and then like they're bringing guys around to try to contain the edge because he's busting things out the edge, or they're having to spy a lot and he's able to hit some stuff too. That is a lot. That is a lot. It's just like, so what if Khalil Tate had eligibility left?
Yeah, that's right. Khalil Tate after the tape is out on him too. It's not Khalil Tate in the first three games. Yeah, that's just a lot of points for a conference opponent. I don't like this because I'm taking I know Washington is awesome on offense, and I know that they're a really good team, and I'm betting against them, and that's probably going to come back to bite me. But, I'll take the points, 21.5. And that's it. Like that's it for this. And I would say, if you're a Washington fan and if you're giving up 24 points to Cal, I think that's a problem. That's going to be a problem for you going into conference play, because there's going to be a lot better offenses. And I just think your secondary sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. I think they do. So we'll see. We'll see what we get. The bummer is like where they call them WTF open, right? Like that, where you're scheming players that are just YDF open. Yeah. The problem is Jackson just can't hit them. So it's got to be these like tunnel screens, and I'm talking myself out of this. Don't do this. I'm taking the points. There's nothing you can do.
Nobody runs, you know, if you want to see like the best executed tunnel screens in college football, Oregon State runs the best tunnel screens. Like, they're amazing. Like when they hit like at least like a couple of season where you're like, wow, that was really well blocked and executed. Like, everybody seemed to know what they were doing, even though it looks like they like tunnel screens often look like slightly organized chaos, and like OSU does them really well.
Oh, okay. Well, something to keep a lookout for. This coffee is cold. Like,
I need 200 yards on the ground out of Jackson to offset that he's only at best, I think, hitting 120 in the air.
I think you're right. So I'll keep an eye on that line. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We will catch you next week. Bunch of great games to cover next week and throughout the entire Pac-12 conference. If you have any questions, 12-pack radio, BetaRank FB, right?
At BetaRank FB, yep.
Yeah. Saturday 6, who are you doing?
I got a dog to make my son. Like, he's 7, and we had this agreement because our dog passed away last year. And I was like, he's been like on me about like, when are we getting another dog? I'm like, I'm not ready. Give me a break. Like, I had that dog for like a decade. He really wanted a puppy. And I was like, all right, fine. I will get you a puppy because you're 7 and you're only 7 once and you get to have a puppy. Fine. And we got a puppy this weekend. So,
so that's the Saturday.
Saturday 6 has been this puppy that, like, if he can't see me, he thinks I have ceased to exist. So like he has, there's no object permanence in his brain. And so like, if I so much as like, rooms are very difficult for him to comprehend too. So.
Well, good luck with that. It will pay off in the end, right? All right. Well, Sharp College Football, if you want to take a look at Rob's stuff, which is really good, thesharpcollegefootball.com. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.